All right, we're back for another episode. So we're at episode 10 today.
Woo-hoo. Yay!
So last episode, we tackled the difference between data privacy and data security. We explored the major data breaches like Medibank and Ashley Madison. And we also highlighted how brands like Apple built consumer trust through a privacy-first approach. Now, today, we're going to be talking about AI. While it can make work faster, smarter, and more scalable, it also raises new challenges. So how do we use it responsibly, especially when we don't fully understand how it works?
Well, there's a common fear, Chloe, in the kind of AI sphere where everybody thinks that AI is coming to take their job.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an unfounded fear in a lot of cases. AI itself is really should be seen more of an assistant to help you actually streamline a lot of your operations and help you actually get on with your work, you know?
Yeah.
Take off your task list and give that task list to AI to execute for you. I mean, AI can do a lot of different things like, you know, weekly, monthly reporting. It can do common tasks that you're doing on a daily or weekly basis and things like that. And it's especially like in the web development industry as well, because the AI can understand context and code, provided you get your prompts right and there's context to the AI interface, whether that's Claude or ChatGPT or Gemini, and the prompt is good enough, it can actually write code for you.
Mm.
Now, the problem with that is at the moment, I mean, it's getting better, right? AI is getting better, but it's not perfect. And there's a lot of times where, I mean, as you know, I write software. I love writing software. Certainly I use AI on a daily basis now. But again, it's merely as an assistant. You still need to understand what it is that you're actually trying to achieve. And I mean, AI can help you get there, but it's not perfect. It's not perfect. Yeah. There's a lot of times where, you know, even myself, you know, you're spending an hour trying to actually teach AI about the code base so that it actually understands what it is that it's supposed to be doing.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, it'll actually lose context while we're discussing a class, for instance. So before you know it, you've actually killed the solid principles and, you know, there's no longer a single responsibility in place and things like that. It can become an absolute nightmare. So the reality is AI should be seen more of an assistant, and it's just not going to be able to replace creativity, certainly not going to replace experience or indeed strategy. It should really just enhance them. There's a few other examples that I can talk about, like for marketers, for instance. Can use AI for content ideas. Now, this is obviously good. A lot of this actually, you know, you really need to be thinking about prompt engineering, right? And everything that you put into the prompt will determine how good quality your content ideas are going to be coming out.
Yeah.
You know,
the output. Yeah.
That's right. And in order to make sure that your business is getting good quality content, you need to make sure that AI understands your brand voice, it understands your brand story, it understands your buyer personas, your audience and segmentation, even right down to the kind of script writing, but it still needs that human touch within it, you know. And as I discussed just a few minutes ago, you know, developers are using like GitHub. I use PHP Storm, which has ChatGPT and Gemini and things within the system itself. You just pay an annual fee for it. It's good in some cases, but again, it still needs that human touch there, especially for like quality assurance optimization, and just the build logic as well. But
Yeah.
I mean, it is good, like looking at code and optimizing code for different PHP versions. And you know, if you're using like Livewire with Laravel, for instance, in the talk stack, it can differentiate between version 1 and version 3, you know, and give you up-to-date code, which is good. And you've
Yeah.
probably learned just recently as well that Canva has got its own AI system, which is kind of a little help for designers. And there's also Midjourney out there for visual inspiration. But at the end of the day, the final decisions and brand alignment need to come from people.
Yeah.
As everything must have that human touch to it.
Human aspect, yeah. And I think the biggest message when it comes to using AI is that AI can remove that friction and help you streamline things and automate certain things, but it doesn't remove the need for thought. You still need to understand what you actually want, what you want the end result to be. And you know, you still need to understand your business, your brand, and ensure that it aligns with everything,
That's right.
in your branding document.
I mean, I think one of the things that's fantastic about AI is you no longer get that kind of writer's block scenario, right? Because as long as you know where you want to be, you can start typing in prompts into ChatGPT and actually use it as an assistant, if you like, or someone to bounce ideas off of. And actual fact, it's really good for that, you know? So
Yeah.
it usually offers a lot of different things that you've maybe not kind of thought about either. So
Yeah.
it's good to get started.
Yeah. So as we mentioned before, Canva has come out with their AI code generator, which is a little bit of a double-edged sword. So it's got code generation tools, which empowers users to create basic web applications or scripts without actually touching raw code or having to create that code yourself. So it's really good because it helps with the development side of stuff. And small business owners and marketers can use it to create interactive tools, websites, and apps easily. But there is a few problems with that. Do you want to go through the problems?
Well, the first one, the first probably the biggest one, I think, is the vulnerability of some of these apps. I mean, there's quite a lot of no code systems out there, like Bubble and things like that, that users can use. I've personally never used it, but one of the biggest issues in web development, for instance, is open source software always getting hacked. So if you think about like WordPress and things like that, where there's because the code is available online, you know, hackers can see the code, they can understand how it works, they can find vulnerabilities, and they can
Yeah.
exploit those vulnerabilities. And creating these type of apps are going to be the same. So if you don't really understand the whole security side of things, and make sure that that's coded into the systems themselves, that can leave you open to a lot of vulnerability, and that's not good for business.
Yeah, definitely not.
The other one is introducing inefficient logic. So I mean, my experience with working with AI developing software is it's actually quite good at optimizing things, but you still need to have that understanding of what actually needs to happen from a not just a customer point of view who's actually using the app, but from a logic and bit a business logic point of view, you know, and what should happen when and things like that. So
Yeah.
you know, a lot of these apps might end up breaking under real world pressure, you know, because they've not had that thought process or that true and deep understanding of of continual software development, I suppose, you know.
Yep.
So that can cause problems. And then obviously it can kind of become dependent on the tools where they cannot debug or scale. So if you're building an app, for instance, you know, you're not thinking about the bigger picture. You can then start to become dependent on that single system. And what happens is you actually like code yourself into a corner, which is actually a problem in software development right across the board, I suppose. So it's just understanding these things. And I think, you know, AI, while it's fantastic and it can deliver real value for any business, there just needs to be an understanding there that there are issues around using AI within the business context.
Yeah, and I think that a really big one there is obviously the hackers getting in, and especially if you're using this type of software for data collection or storing data, that's a real vulnerability. And you will end up becoming dependent on AI for creating this code. And if, you know, AI can't read the whole software script, then you're going to have bugs there. And sometimes AI can create like that one section and then you add it in and then you've mucked up something else because you don't actually understand the flow of the software that's going in here. Sorry, the script.
As I say, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example of that is sometimes what happens with AI, it actually can rewrite the whole class for you, right? The whole script, which sounds fantastic, but it doesn't always include some of the functions and logic that was in there previously. So while you ask it to make sure that it provides everything that's already in there just optimized, it sometimes does remove things. So it's not perfect. So you need to be able to understand what is, again, that you're trying to achieve and what's actually in there. And sometimes you could be spending an hour or two debugging what it's actually done, and basically what you then eventually do is you just reverse everything that you've done over the past hour in order to get back to the working system that actually was before you started.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of rabbit holes I've been down doing that is just a nightmare sometimes, you know?
And you have to think as well, like, some of the script that it is writing won't be optimized either. So you're going to have to manually go through and understand parts that can, you know, be taken out to help with the speed of the software application that you're creating.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to be honest, I mean, even if you're writing, even if you get an AI to help you write some code and things, you know, I'll always go through myself and check for security as being a big one, but also efficiency and efficient operations and things within the code, so that's super fast. But you know, being a human, you can't always know everything. There's especially like as PHP versions are evolving, and then you've got Laravel and whatever systems and programming language you're using. But sometimes it does actually come up with some good hints and what to do and how to do it and how to implement it. It's just making sure that you do understand the basics and where you're trying to go yourself.
And I think the bottom line with using AI is that it should be used to accelerate, not replace understanding. Because, you know, calculators didn't make learning math irrelevant. They made it advanced. So it was more accessible. And the same applies with AI.
And the thing is there, and this is true for calculators as well, does it actually make us a little bit dumber? You know, because even when you see some posts and things on LinkedIn and, you know, people are using automated bots and AI for comments and things, and I've seen posts where you can clearly see that it's AI that's responded because the context isn't quite right, or it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all.
Well, I think me personally, I wouldn't be using AI or chatbots to reply to comments or real life interactions. I think it's a bit of a cheap way to go about it, you know? Because you're not building a personal brand there, you're just...
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of LinkedIn is building relationships, business relationships, more so, I suppose. So really, I mean, I'm a big believer in building personal relationships with people, not using AI. I mean, you can use AI in some of your posts and things, but certainly comments and things, you know, if you really want to build that
relationship,
then you need to be doing it yourself, you know?
Yeah. So upskilling does matter. So you need to know what good code or good content looks like. You can then optimize what AI gives you to fit your branding guidelines, to fit your brand voice, and to really make sure that it does also look like it's coming from you and not just from AI or a chatbot, or, you know, because it's so easy to distinguish between something that a real person has wrote and something that AI has wrote. I could easily go through LinkedIn and say, yep, they wrote that, or yep, they, you know, they just use straight AI. And I think when you're using AI as well, if you're writing LinkedIn posts, write the post yourself as if you were writing it, and then you can maybe get AI to go through the content and make it a bit easier to read and understand.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think certainly what you need to do is just make it yours. You know, you need to own your own voice, you know?
But in saying like all that as well, because I feel like we've just knocked down AI. AI is amazing for, you know, helping with those ideas, because there is times, especially when you're like in the creative field, where you have creative fatigue and, you know, you don't know what to do, you're stuck, and you need to go maybe step away, but you can ask AI some questions. You know, what's some stuff that I can add here, what's some stuff I can do here, how can I do things differently? And it can also, like, asking those questions can help you upskill as well, and see things from a different perspective, I guess, without actually having that human interaction.
That's right.
But I mean, that won't replace human interactions.
Well, here's the thing, right? I mean, AI is getting better. And I know, because we build AI software, I know for a fact that the conversations are getting better. To give you an example, we have a service called Adonis Reignite, whereby we help companies reactivate old leads in their database. So what we've done is we've created, a lot of these responses and conversations are actually off the back of a good prompt. And this is why prompt engineering is becoming a skill set that people, the marketers need to pick up on and need to accelerate on, so that they get good data back from AI. So to give you an example, within our system, so we've created an AI SMS system whereby what it does is it takes old leads from the database. So these are leads that they've tried to be contacted. They've basically put their hand up and asked for help by the business. The business has tried to contact them two or three times, and they've kind of went cold, and they're considered like dead leads. Or aged leads within their database, the CRM. So what happens is we take that list of dead leads, and then we actually start a campaign with those leads using AI and SMS. So with their mobile, we send the first message asking. I mean, to give an example, if it's a solar company, for instance, we'll send a message saying, you know, hey, it's Derek from Adonis Solar. Is this the same Alan that was looking for a quote for solar? Now, what happens is in that whole conversation flow is AI will actually wait for a response. So we set these workflows up in the background. So it waits for a response. It can wait 2 days before, and if it doesn't get a response in two days, as an example, this can obviously be managed. Sends another one, just basically not so much asking the same thing, but just putting that message back up at the top of the list again. And that conversation flow goes back and forth. So if the person that's getting this SMS is responding back to AI, AI uses the information that we've provided it in the prompt to actually speak like a human. And if you see some of the responses, Chloe, it's like you're actually speaking to someone, you know?
Yeah.
And so if, say, for instance, you were in the hospital and you told, you actually think you're speaking to someone else. So you're saying, oh, I'm in the hospital for now. I've broke my leg, this, that, and next thing. AI will actually come back and say, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, Derek. I'm wishing you all the best and you get better while you're in hospital. But then what it does is we've trained it to always go bring the client back to getting them booked in for that sales call. So and that's to reactivate that lead. So that's fantastic, and AI's been really good. And it is getting better. I mean, you know, as much as we've been kind of slaying it there a bit there, you know, you do need to watch what you're doing. You need to understand how powerful it is, and just, you know, work with it every day and just get better at providing really good prompts.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. So we've got some real-world examples to share with you now as well. So this is a little bit of a cautionary tale. So there was a startup that used AI tool to code its MVP in record time, but it didn't understand server load or security. So when the traffic on the website spiked, the site crashed and user data was exposed for millions to see.
Crazy.
Just what we were talking about in our last episode as well, is the data security. So if you want to check that one out, go check episode 9.
That's right. That's a prime example of what we've just been discussing, Chloe, whereby, you know, you might be able to build that MVP, which is a minimal viable product, as say a SaaS application, software as a service. But if you don't understand about server loads and load balancers, you know, and all the other technical continuous integration and software development, all that kind of stuff that goes at the back of that, then that's you know, you're already on the back foot, if you like.
So this is
why it's important to make sure that you've got people that do understand not just the AI side of things, but the whole, how it actually all fits together for it to be a real world product.
And then we've got a little success story as well. So there was a small development team combined AI code tools with their own expertise to build a custom booking platform. So they were able to launch that faster and built in security and scalability from day one. And that just tells you that with your expertise and you know, the adaption of AI, you can get things done faster, you can scale quicker, and you can automate a lot of things as well. But you still need to have that expertise of whatever field you're in to do that.
That's correct, yeah. And if you go back to the SMS application that we've built, that's a prime example there, where you need to understand, you know, what's that workflow that we need to actually get to in order to get that person reactivated back in for a sales call, you know, and how does that conversation look? Plus, as well, you need to understand, especially if you're providing SaaS applications to a worldwide audience, you need to understand about different cultures and how different cultures speak. So in our example, for instance, we actually tell AI, you know, if you're in the UK, you need to speak for the UK. If it's a business that's in Glasgow up in Scotland, or even Glasgow and Edinburgh, is slightly different in the way that they talk. But you can actually get AI, if you tell it within the prompt, to speak, you know, with an Edinburgh kind of accent, or, you know, with that tone, or in the way they're typing things, you know. So that when you are conversing with someone in Edinburgh or Glasgow or Manchester or Brisbane or whatever, wherever it is, that they actually do feel like it is someone in their area that they're speaking to.
So it's
worth noting.
Yeah. So there's a few lessons and takeaways from today's episode. So AI is a speed boost. It's not a shortcut around skill. When you pair your skills with human knowledge, AI can become a competitive advantage. Don't fear AI. Embrace it, because, you know, as it starts to innovate and get better, it is something that will continue to help you and become a competitive advantage, as we just said. Try Canva's AI tools, try ChatGPT, Copilot, and all the other softwares out there. We've just started using Opus Clip to clip these podcasts, which reduces a lot of manual labor.
We'll put an affiliate link in the description.
Yeah. But you need to take the time to learn what they're doing under the hood. Learn, you know, what are your outcomes when you're putting, you know, this data into ChatGPT. And just remember that, you know, ChatGPT does save everything. So everything you're putting in will be saved. And just be careful when you're putting in sensitive information as well, because it is still on the web. The challenge that I'm giving you guys this week is I want you to identify one task that AI could help you do faster this week. And identify one skill area where you need to deepen your understanding. Now combine them and start working hard as smarter, not blindly. Awesome. So a little teaser for episode 11. Next week, we're going to be talking about the people behind your brand. Your staff aren't just employees anymore, and they're becoming the face of your brand on social media. From TikToks to team-led content, we're going to break down the benefits, risks, and examples from famous brands that use love.
Awesome.
All right. Awesome. Well, that's all we have for today, guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you on the next one.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.